All right, Curtis, you just broke the news to me. Go ahead and lead with it.
Hunger Games is number one at the box office again for the fourth weekend in a row.
Fourth weekend in a row. And our movies, the ones that we've been wanting to watch, to see, but
yeah. They ain't getting the top 10 their opening weekend, so it didn't matter. Yeah, I think Lockout was number 8.
Wrath is slowly sliding down.
It was like well under 6 and then going down.
That's not encouraging. Is there anything else in the theater right now that we're...
I don't know. Those were the two I can remember. What is it?
I don't remember. I know that Avengers comes out May 4th,
yes.
The same weekend as
Fear the Con 5.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Greg is member. He signed in. He's last night was going to look what's up in there to play.
Yeah, I haven't signed up for any games, but if goes well and the crick don't rise, I'm going to spend a large part of the con promoting Atomic Earth anyway. That's okay with me.
Yeah.
Anyway, hello, podcast people. I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And we're back on the microphones. You didn't get lucky. We did not succumb to the zombie apocalypse. And we did not have to bug out to the Ohio River and live on a barge. So
damn.
That's all right. There's always next week, right?
I'm still hoping for an EMP. I don't give a damn right now. Any EMP would be nice right now.
You know, I can localize one of those just over your office if
that
would
help. They can buy computers at another store and start all over. No.
No, it doesn't help because you can draw by hand.
That won't help them because then I got a schedule I got to keep, so, but it'll push everything back.
Yeah.
No, I got to take out the world.
You got to take out the world.
Or at least right. Indiana and Kentucky.
Well, we'll just have to arrange for that mass coronal ejection from the sun.
That just sounds weird.
Yeah, it does.
Coronal ejection.
Yep. All right, so the big thing is Fear the Con. Fear the Con 5, St. Louis. On the weekend of May 4th, we're going. You need to go too, if the world hasn't ended by then.
It'll be the last con you can go to besides Gen Con.
That's right.
Or whatever else con that pops up. It'll be the last Fear the Con.
The very last one in the history of the world ever.
Do we need to have our bug out bags with us in case the
apocalypse? We probably should. Depending on what we're prepping for that week.
Well, I mean, I have gun cases with locks, so I can lock the guns and put them in the van.
And they're doing whatever. Fear the Gun this at this con.
Yeah, I'm not dealing with that.
No. But this week we're prepped. There's other stuff in the podcast, so we're going to get right to it. Well, this week we are prepped for a rogue planet causing the Earth to spin out of orbit and go
Arctic.
Cold. Go Arctic. Go Arctic. So we have our bug out, dig in, fight back plans for this. Do you wanna lead off?
Oh, let's see. What, bug out?
Yeah, what's your bug out plan?
I think you die if you bug out.
Well, you know, I don't know where we could.
You go to the equator, or if it knocks it out of the Earth's orbit, it could knock it off the axis. So it really, you're screwed no matter what.
You good
don't
point.
Know.
That's true.
So you stick your head out, and then in all the movies, everybody dies who sticks their head out.
I mean, either way, we're going to have to head to the equator or to the poles. One of the
whatever's
two.
Now the warm spot.
Head to the warm spot. Head to the
but
hot spot.
But then so will everyone else.
That's true.
That's a lie.
I was actually thinking, rather than take our chances on what's going to be the warm zone, that we should target a volcanic region.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it goes
you just want to use a boat and get on an island, don't you? Because that's what it is. Because that's all the volcanic stuff. Because, you know, there's a ring of fire in the Pacific. And
there's
go,
a lot to be said for island life. And ask Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, but he ain't going to have no cheeseburgers.
Nope. But, no, sure. Seriously, volcanic and somewhere with an active volcano.
What about Yellowstone and the hot spring things? That's thermal.
There we go.
That's
and
geothermal,
close.
And you can tap that. You put in heat.
That's awesome. Okay, there we go. Bug out location.
I can get killed.
Yellowstone
bears.
Springs. I don't really think there's any special preps that we can do for...
Depends on how bad it is, because if not, we can't get there anyway.
Well,
bugging out's hard, this one.
It is hard, because there's not a lot of places to go.
And how bad the temperature is, you're screwed.
Yeah. But, yeah, we want those sources of geothermal energy. Absolutely.
Looks like another bunker.
Another bunker. So, well, you know, this is our first bunker.
Our first, but we know how to get one now.
That's right. So we're bugging out to the Yellowstone, and this is just a road trip kind of thing because we're not going to fly. That's, I mean.
No.
No.
They won't take this stuff. No. We never fly.
Unless
bug
we,
out.
Unless
we have not seen a bug
hot
out
air
plane.
Balloon.
No.
Come on, that's
no.
My brother-in-law is all about the hot air balloons. All right.
No.
All right. No, we just have to road trip. We're gonna Mad Max it to Yellowstone, and dig in at Yellowstone, and that's gonna like you said, that's gonna have to be. I don't know if a bunker is the right way to go, but we're gonna need something with insulation.
Yeah.
And we're gonna need a way to tap those geothermal.
The deep freeze Arctic tents they make. The ones
that's
really designed for that to keep it in. We have to build a cabin. I got to bring some pipe.
That's not a very cavernous region, is it?
No, it's not. It's open woods mainly. Where we want to be for getting the tapping it, it'll be open woods.
Yeah, all right. Well, so that means if we're going to be tapping into that source of heat for our life, that means our bunker is going to be above ground.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably, you know, we're not going to be able to transport anything.
No.
So it's going to be assembled from, school buses have been a popular choice in the past.
True. There'll be plenty to find.
We'll have to either build as we get there or scavenge along the way out of motorhomes and school buses. And
beyond what we bring or what we can get. Yeah.
Right. Which I guess leads directly into Fight Back.
Sweet ass.
We don't have any zombies to defend against, and you can't really fight back against the temperature.
No, just other people who want to steal your stuff.
Right. We're going to have to, which begs the big question, are we going to dig in and fight back and us for no more shut the door, or do we take people in and build a community around our hot spring civilization?
People suck.
there you go.
We can. We'll have to screen them.
We'll have to screen them.
No, you get one bad apple.
That's true.
No. Seen too many communities fall by that one seed. Oh, I'll let them in. They'll help us. Ah! And the Raiders kill everyone.
Yeah, you know, if the Stand has taught us nothing else.
Stand.
yeah, all right. So, there we go. That's our bug out, dig in, fight back plan for the Arctic blast.
Cool, I get to build a fort.
Relatively simple. It's not an island region after all. You know, don't worry, I'll get there.
We was in off the coast, yeah. We're on a boat!
I don't know, you don't want to be out in the ocean in the middle of the freezing weather. Did we learn nothing from Titanic?
No.
Anyway, so that's our bug out plan in the event of the Arctic blast apocalypse. And next week I said we were still going with the Rogue Planet theme.
Oh yeah.
But this time instead of knocking the Earth away from the sun, it's going to knock us closer to the sun.
Oh god, I'm gonna get hot.
So yeah. increased solar flares, solar activity warms the rising temperatures. And so we're going to be prepped. The question is, will you?
Welcome back to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm Corson Winston, and I still don't have any kind of opening music for you, so that's all right. We jump right into the conversation there with me and Kurt with our bug-out, dig-in, fight-back plans for the Arctic blast apocalypse. All right, well, a quick update. Some of you have asked about the Kickstarter, and that is still in progress. I am literally a video away from launching the Kickstarter. It's turning out to be quite a lot more work than I had really anticipated, which is good because I think that makes the end product that much better. In the meantime, I will continue to provide updates on the criticalpressmedia.com site. And very soon, in fact, probably before I launch the Kickstarter, I will be launching an Atomic Earth website devoted to the game and the history, where you can find out a little bit more about the history of the Atomic Earth and how you can become part of the Challenger Foundation. In the meantime, I managed to score an interview with Brett Bernstein. of Precy Intermedia, which can be found at pigames.net. And if you're not familiar with the name, then think of him as the guy behind such RPG classics as Shatterzone and Masterbook and Blood Shadows. Anyway, we have a really great conversation, but it's kind of long, so I'm going to jump right into it, and then we will see you again next week. If you have any comments or questions, send me an email to mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com, or you can find me on Facebook.
All right, well, I'm in the reaction chamber with Brett Bernstein from Precy Intermedia. Say hello to all the nice people in podcast land, Brett.
Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm grateful that you could spend some time talking with us today. Now, before we get into some things, there are some things that I wanted to ask you about and some products that I know that you've got ongoing and upcoming. But I kind of really want to find out a little bit about Precy Intermedia and where you came from and what it is you guys do.
Precy Intermedia originally started as Politically Incorrect Games. I had also incorporated Spectre Press into the mix and Precy Intermedia as well. The whole thing melted together, all the product into one company, and that's the short version.
That's okay. We like the short version. I'm interested in the name itself. Where did Precy come from?
I was looking for a name to convey the basic concept of what my products are. I want the games to be playable almost immediately. That's the definition of Precy. It's basically clear and concise.
You mentioned earlier that you came into the business in 2002. Did you enter into that from the fan side or from the business side as a creator? What are kind of your origins in the hobby gaming industry?
I've been gaming or been reading role-playing games, tabletop games around the 80s, and I've always had this, I guess, common with a lot of gamers, wanted to tinker with the games, the systems, rules, settings, and I've always had kind of a little bit of wanting to do it myself attitude, and I've had some experience in publishing, and so at one point I decided, well, I'm gonna finally produce this game that I've been talking about with some friends. We started on it, and I kind of had to switch gears, and I couldn't get everyone on board to finish it, so I started some other projects on my own, and that pretty much was the start of it. But the original game was called The Colony.
Well, speaking of projects that you've got going on at Precy, you know, you're on my show, so obviously you're doing something gaming over there. You mentioned tabletop RPGs and minis and a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
So let's take a little snapshot about what you got going on at Precy right now. I particularly wanted to ask about the Masterbook system, and I noticed on your website you've got Blood Shadows being re-released for Masterbook, and I may be dating myself here a bit, but I think I've got the old D6 version somewhere.
The old D6 version is newer than the Masterbook version, technically.
Is it really? My goodness.
The Masterbook came out first, now 9.3 or 4. First, if I'm not mistaken, the first game was a box set. Masterbook, Rulebook, Blood Shadows, and the Master Deck card. The D6 version didn't come out until sometime in the 2000s. It was the new core D6 book. It's older. The original Masterbook Blood Shadows is more expensive. There's about, I'm guessing, around 8 supplements for it. There's a lot more material for it.
Oh, wow.
I did re-release the D6 version for those who want that, but my main focus for Blood Shadows is the Masterbook version.
Okay.
Obviously, because there's just a lot more material available for it. So
sure.
I can do is reprint it for everybody. Have changed system or anything, and I'm still finding my own feet with Masterbook. It's been a while since I've looked at it. It was early 90s. I remember when it first came out.
Sure, they had all those licenses. They did, West End had a bunch of licenses, and they did Indiana Jones for Masterbook. They did the Brian Lumley Necroscope books for Masterbook, I think.
They had quite a few.
Yeah, wasn't Tales from the Crypt a Masterbook license? I seem to remember.
Tank Girl, World of Aiden, Necroscope. There's one more, I can't remember. Unfortunately, there's not much hope of relicensing those games, so.
Well, you know, Masterbook's a start. How did you come by the Masterbook license?
I had been in contact with Eric Gibson, who is the current owner of West End Games.
Sure.
I've been contacting him for some time, and I've actually was trying to acquire Blood Shadows from him for some time. Finally, when he sold the right door to another company, I realized he was starting to unload all the properties, and that's when I kind of swooped in and made a deal with him, and that's how I acquired Blood Shadows, Shatterzone, and Masterbook.
Excellent. Yeah, Shatterzone. Shatterzone's another one that I remember from way back. And you said are you re-releasing those books? Or yes, are you retooling those books? What are you doing with Shatterzone?
I just finished scanning the three main rule books. I'm in the box set just now.
Okay.
And I still have a lot of work to do on them. I have to edit them. I have to touch them up. I have to play around with the scans. I'll make them presentable and printable.
Right.
I've done it for Masterbook, Companion, and Blood Shadows. And the first Blood Shadows novel, Hellbeat, which have all been released now, re-released, I should say. And slowly, I'm getting myself into I'm slowly getting myself into a procedural process where I have a good understanding of how to get the pages to print better. Scans are hard to work with when you have half-tone patterns and black and white, and sometimes, depending on how you scan it or set it up for printing, it's not going to look good. So it's a lot of work involved, even though some people may think you just scan it and print it. For an optimal reprint, that's not really it.
That's not really it. And we do some digital archiving here, so I know exactly the kind of challenges you're facing there.
Right. And I have to say, I was quite impressed with what I did with the Blood Shadows reprint. I put some of my old experiences to use and came out pretty nice. I did a good job. I do say so myself. I think people will be quite happy to see the reprint. It's a little better quality than the Masterbook reprint. That was a tough one. Very good.
Well, that's cool. So
that is thanks to a new scanner I got just for this.
That's right. You use these new projects as an excuse to acquire newer and better toys, right?
Well, I try not to, but sometimes it's unavoidable.
Right.
Sometimes you just absolutely have to have a certain product to get the project.
Yeah, exactly. So right now with Shatterzone and with Masterbook, with Blood Shadows, you're focusing on re-releasing these products that have been, out of print since...
For quite a while.
Yeah.
For those who really want them, you can still find them on eBay or other places to sell used books. It's kind of chancy if you're going to find what you're looking for at a reasonable price, but you can probably do it if you really look hard enough.
That's not really the focus of your business model with these. I understood that you're really focusing on making these available in electronic formats. Is that right?
Right. Most of my business is electronic download. Great for people who don't want to wait for it to ship, especially international customers. So you can get it right now. Pay for it, download it, you have it. Try to make the downloads as small as possible while still retaining as much quality for those who want to print it out at home.
Sure.
Or take it to Kinko's or something like that. But at the same time, you can get the print version, which also comes with the download. So while you're waiting for it to come in the mail, they'll start reading it.
On your laptop, on your digital reader, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And I don't charge extra for print.
Well, speaking of playing, what are some of the other, and we talked about some of the re-releases. We were talking about, these are, original products that you've got coming out. Either that or I'm about to lose some geek cred because I don't, because I don't remember them. But you were telling me about, Lords of Olympus, Tombstones and Tumbleweeds.
Right.
And, some of your other products. The Solo Wargaming Guy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, Lords of Olympus is a faceless role-playing game.
Okay.
And this is going to ruffle a few feathers because there's people out there who have a dislike for a certain person out there. The RPG Pundit, as he is called, which has a blog and runs RPGsite.com, RPGsite.com. It is written by him, and he's written a few other games, such as Gnome Murder, Gnome as in the little padded creatures, and a few others. There's a GMing guide coming up on him as well. But Lords of Olympus is a diceless game. It's sort of a clone of, dare I say it, the Amber role-playing game.
Oh, now see, when you said diceless, I immediately went to Amber, but...
Right, just as there are many clones out there of D&D and other systems, like basic role-playing is basically a clone of that. So system-wise, similar, different terminology, but it works pretty much the same way. And it's based on the Lords of Olympus, the Greek god, where you can play a god, you can play a demigod, and you interact in different ways.
Is that set in a modern time period, or is it ancient Greece, or where's the bulk of that action?
You can pretty much set it wherever you want, in any era. It's primarily in the god's domain, and you can interact with any type of earth you want.
Okay. Well, that sounds like that sounds like it's just ripe for a Percy Jackson mod right there.
Oh, it's got a vast range of possibilities, because it is so open, and the diceless makes it, I don't want to say more accessible, but...
Oh, you can say it.
More accessible. Because it's sort of balanced the way it's handled, so it frees up the rules lawyering.
Sure.
Of course, it's always present in whatever game, but I think it's a little better way of handling that situation.
Sure.
Now, next, we have Tombstones and Tumbleweeds, the second edition. The first edition was originally published by GameWorks, which was also publisher of New World Disorder, which I now publish, the second edition, and Zombie Apocalypse, which is now a supplement for New World Disorder. The Tombstones and Tumbleweeds is a real simple Wild West miniatures game. Second edition, however, I've kind of adapted it. The first edition you can run as a role-playing game if you want. It's not hard to do. The second edition is geared for both. So the rules are going to be quite similar to those who've played my Ancient Odysseys game or the genre diversion games, which are the low-cost line. And it's quite an interesting game. I think it's going to be unlike anything pressy intermediate customers have seen before because of its versatility. And the third game, which I'm really trying to get all of these done now, as I can, Solo Wargaming Guide, the handbook on how to wargame on your own. If you don't have anybody to play with, you can use this guide to do it yourself and have fun.
Well, no, that's interesting. Where did that come around? Okay, obviously, you know, you're like all the rest of us, and you're strapped for time and strapped for energy, and the old gang can't always spend all night gaming in the dorm room anymore. But was that really kind of the inspiration for making a solo wargaming guide?
Well, this is authored by William Sylvester. He had contacted me and offered a submission, and this is all him. Fabulous job of it. I'm just struggling to get to it because I do a lot. I can't focus all my attention on one game because it would never get done because I have to go around to do different things. My process is a little weird. I admit it. I mean, it's a little ADD, but I need to focus on different things at different times. Writer's block, even though I'm not writing, kind of works out that way. So top three projects, and I've been promising to get this done for a while for him, and I feel bad, of course. So I want to make him proud when I finally get this done. It's probably going to be done in a little pocket-sized book, novel, paper, pinch rate paperback. Not a full game. It is how to play, but it's going to be perfect that you can take anywhere with you. See how that comes out. I think those who are interested in tabletop games will find it quite.
Okay, well, that's something I'm going to have to follow up on with you when we get closer to a completion or, you know, closer to a final finished product. That's not out already yet, is it? Well, we'll come back to that. You know, that'll give me an excuse to call you back in, you know, 3-4 months, right?
Sounds good.
Well, you mentioned that he brought this to you as a contribution or as a submission,
right.
And that's not really something that that you're looking for right now. You're not really looking for new content from new creators, but you do have an interactive section on your website where people who are into your products, you know, who are excited about these can log on and contribute to the community, can be part of that, you know, part of that Pricey Games community. And, you know, it's just called Collaborative. What's the deal with Collaborative? What kind of stuff can we find going on in there? And what do we need to do to get involved?
Collaborative is what it sounds like. Anybody can participate. However, apart from an account, a little touchy at times as far as how to enter things. Custom proprietary formatting based on the message boards out there. And whoever posts on message boards, you probably have a basic familiarity how to bold things, italic, and pretty simple. But a lot of people with the games, they want to do charts and tables, so I'm always here to give them a hand. So what you can do if you want to get involved, always available, you can look through it. Material for all different games that we carry, conversions for other systems, there's new rules, creatures for games, a whole bunch of things. You can look through the articles, you can see if there's anything with your needs at any moment. And if you want to post something, you can go ahead, try it out yourself. If you run the problems, you can post in the message boards and ask for help, and I'll swoop in and see if I can give you a hand. Or if you have something already produced in, say, PDF format, you can always, again, post it on the message boards or use the contact form on the website to send an email about it, and you can email it over and we'll post it up for you. Then other people can download it. Pretty simple, and there's not really anything fancy about it. Nice and simple for people to work on. And probably the best part about it is that when you enter something in Collaborative, and I'm just looking at one thing right now I clicked on, for a Fistful of Miniatures, which is a mass miniatures tabletop, I added an article about elephants, how to use elephants, and it's all there formatted on the screen. You can read it right there, or as an option, if you'd like it to be permanent, you click the download button, and it's going to download a PDF for you. And you can do whatever you want with it. Save it on your hard drive. You can print it out. That works with anything. If you just add your own text to a page, you're going to automatically be able to download a PDF of that text. So that's very helpful for others' articles.
Well, that's awesome.
And of course, you know, being part of the, being part of the forum, part of that community, you've got a certain amount of interactivity there.
You know, you can always ask people for advice on what they think about a certain role or a certain creature, if it fits what you think it's going to be for your settings. I mean, it's common to have this with any game company. You're always going to have message boards to a certain degree.
Sure.
But I think collaborative goes one step further. Sure, free downloads are great. Everybody has them. But this lets you add your own, and they're all stored in one location.
Right, and I don't think any gamer out there is going to claim with a straight face that they have never tinkered with a system and made their custom rules and their own stuff. Nobody's
right. Yeah. I think everybody does at some point, and I want them to, because to me, the game rules are not known. If you don't like the rule, change. They're just guidelines. You find a better way of doing something, and it's going to make the game more fun for you when you play. Change it, and if it's good, if you think it's good, share it with other people, and maybe they'll enjoy it as well. Just let them upload it or type it in, and other people can read it, and you can get their feedback on the forums.
All right, well, we're about out of time, so I want to go ahead and wrap up. I'm just kind of glancing over your website here, and aside from the stuff that we've mentioned already, you've got a ton of other IPs and a ton of other products on here. I'm just kind of going down your sidebar here. You've got Ancient Odysseys. Give me the elevator pitch on what that is.
Ancient Odysseys is a game line for retro gaming, dungeon gaming, but it's not a clone of any old Back to the Dungeon game line. Right now, there's Ancient Odysseys Treasure Await, which is a basic introductory. Play it with a GM, without a GM. You can play it by yourself, and there's eventually going to be an advanced version. There's a lot more options. That's in the works, and if you're interested, anybody can ask me about it. I'll tell them what I have so far, and there's probably some post-networks about it, and I'm pretty excited about it. But before that comes about, I'm going to try to get a supplement for the original Treasure Awaits out. We take them out of the dungeon, put them into the forest or the woods, and adds a couple more options for laying, negotiating, gearing off people. That should be interesting.
All right, and let's see, we've got Blood Shadows Fantasy Noir that we talked about a bit before. I don't think we actually mentioned what that is.
Right, Blood Shadows, as you said, is Fantasy Noir.
Fantasy Noir, yeah. I mean, that's Sam Spade versus Dracula. it's the way I always...
the way I like to describe it, it's a 40s noir film, meet Hulu, or a Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right. Mickey Spillane.
Mickey Spillane, yeah, great. I actually forgot what he meant. What Buffy would mean.
Oh no!
I write so much of these blurbs that I couldn't remember in my head. So well.
Sure.
But Mickey Spillane works.
Let's see. We've got Disposable Heroes, paper miniatures. That is an excellent idea. I think that's really cool, and that
right.
looks just like
that's a very big seller. People love those. I try to make them as usable as possible, and it's an automated system for the most part. They have the static downloads, full set, like armies of figures you can download and print out. And there's a customizable version, which you can use the website to customize how you download, coming back for more of those sets that you buy. You're not going to find that flexibility anywhere else for paper miniatures.
No, absolutely not.
Not to toot my own horn, but I mean, I've invested a lot of my time programming that system, and it's pretty expensive now. Plus, there's options. You can save your sets that you've purchased, save blended sets and how they're set up, and you can have them printed and shipped to you. And there's also pre-printed sets. And now I've added tokens for the... Sorry, I can't remember. I apologize to company Fantasy Grounds 2, the virtual tabletop software. You can download token packs for that.
Okay.
And there's a bunch available. There's more coming.
All right, well, let's
people
see.
Who use that software, there's also figures for that.
All right. I see Two-Fisted Tales, which I'd heard of before. I didn't know that that was, you know, one of yours.
Yeah, that started at Spectre Press. And this is the revised edition. All new cover, formatting, and a pretty good Hulk game, Hulk Tales game. A little similar to Masterbook. A lot of the inspiration, I'm told, came from Masterbook and other games. It's kind of, let's take this, and improve it, and make it better, and make it faster.
Right.
Make it for Pulp Action. And that's what it does. It does it fantastically.
I see Warcosm, Victory in the Stars, which is
right,
billed as a tactical starship, or tactical space fleet combat.
Right, that's a miniatures / counter-based fleet space battle game. So you can use miniatures, or you can just use counters on a hex grid, and it's quick playing, trying to make battle each other, say 20 shift, and it doesn't overload you with too many rules, and job done, and that is one of my babies.
Nice.
That is a real game that means a Thanks a lot.
Well, now, see, I'm probably going to date myself again here, but I can't see Starship Battles and the Hex Grid in the same sentence without thinking of Starfleet Battles. Was that a favorite? Did that come out of, you know, let's do this and make it, you know, less complicated?
Starfleet Battles I was never into because it just seemed too complicated. I remember
it was
FASTA role-playing game Star Trek Simulator, which is, I thought, adequate. It's quite good. But this is actually closer to the old Starfire game, which is Task Force Games, same publisher as Starfleet Battles. And nice quick system where you put fleets against each other. It's a little more flexible, in my opinion, than Warcosm.
Nice.
And I think it could be a little quicker. I'm not sure about that.
Nice.
You'd have to ask somebody, play them both quite extensively, I guess.
Right. Well, let's see. We talked a bit about New World Disorder. I see a thing for that on here. And then you've got some others, Ghost Stories and Coyote Trail and Hard Nova. You just have a ton of content on here. So what we need to do then is tell people where to find your website.
Okay, well, that's easy. www.eigames.net. Or for those who can't remember that little web URL, you can go with www.crazyintermedia.com. Intermedia.com. I know it's hard to spell that word when you don't need it in writing.
Right, because Pricey Intermedia is both easier to say, easier to spell, and shorter than pigames.net, right?
Yeah, of course. It's probably easier to remember because the net kind of messes with people there, the .net.
That's all right. We'll put some links in there. We'll get them, we'll put some links in the show notes. We'll get them to the website one way or another. There's a lot of cool content here, and people need to look at it.
Yep,
so
it's a lot here, and there's a variety. I like to work with variety. I don't want to do the same thing over and over again. It gets stale, so that's why I've built in different directions, different lines.
All right. Well, Brett, I sure appreciate you spending some time with me today. I know you're busy. I know you got books to scan and business to conduct and, you know, empires to take over and all that.
Apparently. Well, I appreciate the time to answer your questions. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, anytime. And when you get some new product out, send me a press release. I'll make sure it goes into the blog. And when you've got, I'm really interested in this solo wargaming manual, and I'd like to get you back when that's closer to release and find out some more about that. Sound like a plan? All right. Well, we're going to sign off before the reaction chamber overloads and probably let you go from here.